Well, amen. Praise the Lord for that special tonight. If you have your Bibles with you tonight, if you look with me to the book of Joshua, chapter 13, Wednesday nights, we've been going through and teaching on the life of Joshua. I love Bible character studies. There's so much to learn from them, whatever God has revealed to us. Not only do we learn of the historical truths of these Bible characters, but they're recorded in God's Word to help us to understand biblical principles and to learn from their lives and how God worked in their lives. And so I just love Bible characters. And so Wednesday night, we've been on this study of the life of Joshua. A lot of things have taken place. We know that he's now in the promised land. The main military part of possessing the land is now basically over. We mentioned that last week. They had come together, all the 12 tribes, and to form the greatest military army on the earth, and with, especially with God's enabling his power. And they were able to defeat very easily the inhabitants of Canaan when they were looking to God. When they turned away from God and God's word, then even the smallest of the nations would defeat them, like Ai. And but then they just turned back to God, and God would give them that victory. So we've learned a lot in the military as far as the outcome, the will of God for Joshua and leading the military. And they've defeated 31 kings, all of the different major armies of the land. They had come together several times, uniting against Israel, but yet they could not defeat Israel as long as Israel was looking to Israel's God. And so a lot of things taken place, and now we're here in chapter 13. Last week we looked at verse 1, and as there was going to be a change in the direction for Joshua, God reminded Joshua that he was old and stricken in age, and but yet he said there's still work to do, but you have to be aware of where you're at, what stage of life. You have to be aware of your age. You have to be aware of all these things to continue to accomplish what I have for you to accomplish. So I trust we was able to help. We'll look back at that in just a few minutes, but now I'm going to take you down to verse 6. Tonight we're going to be reading verse 6 down to verse 8 and then jump to verse 13. And so if you'll stand with me tonight, we'll read the Word of God together and we'll get into things. Joshua chapter 13, verse 6. And all the inhabitants of the hill country from Lebanon unto Misrephoth, Maim, and all the Sidonians, them will I drive out from before the children of Israel. Only divide thou it by lot unto the Israelites for an inheritance, as I have commanded thee. Now therefore divide this land for an inheritance unto the 9 tribes and the half tribe of Manasseh, with whom the Reubenites and the Gadites have received their inheritance, which Moses gave them beyond Jordan eastward, even as Moses, a servant of the Lord, gave them. Now down to verse 13. Nevertheless, the children of Israel expelled not the Gershurites nor the Machathites, but the Gershurites and the Machathites dwell among the Israelites until this day. And let's pray. Our Father and our God, again, as we bow before you, it's a blessing to be in church and to sense your presence here for what we've already been blessed by. But how important it is to have the actual written down words of a creator God designed to strengthen and to help to educate your children. So I pray tonight, God, that as we are in this book of Joshua studying this life of this great Bible character, that you'd help us to open up our hearts and the minds to receive the truths from this and the biblical principles that you would have us to learn and apply to our own lives. Bless the preaching of thy word once again. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. You may be seated. So possessing the land was Joshua's first task. Possessing the land, basically defeating all of the armies of all of the people in the land of Canaan. But then we find here in chapter 13, again in verse 1, this is recorded. God recorded for us his message to Joshua. And so this is after he's accomplished this with most of his life and what accomplished so great amount of things in Egypt. While he was there, as they come out of Egypt and leading the nation of Israel underneath the leadership of Moses, as Joshua was his right-hand man, all the way through the wilderness, even to the promised land, one of the spies that went in, back into the wilderness, another 40 years, and now he's in the land. We study the fact that he's 100 years old here. He's 100 years old at this point, chapter 13, and God says, now Joshua was old and stricken in years. He made a fact here. He just stated the fact. He was old and stricken in years. And then, not only did he make a statement here, then he addressed Joshua, and the Lord said unto him, thou art old. Yeah, so, I mean, this is God helping us to see that he wanted Joshua to be aware of his age and his stage of life and what God had for him to accomplish at his age and his stage of life. That in itself, that's the message last week. That's something that all of us need to be aware of. Yeah. If we're aware of this and we are aware of what God expects of us at every age and every stage of life or the cycle of life, parents raising children, they don't know what God expects of them. You do, so raise them according to what you know God expects of them. To obey, to honor mom and dad. Children need to know they are not babies. You passed that stage. If you got children, stop treating them like babies. Because they're not babies. You might think of them and look at them as still that little baby that you brought home from the hospital and the nursery. And they're children. They're past that stage. Stop it. Yeah. Teenagers need to realize they're not children, but they're not adults. When they fail to acknowledge what God has for them at their age, parents, you better remind them. You're not a child, but you're not an adult. I don't know what you are, but no, you're a teenager. Okay, God has expectations for teenagers. And if you want to live to be a young adult, you better apply those expectations. Young adults, you're not teenagers. Take on the responsibilities that God wants you to have as a young adult, whether you just got married or whatever. Understand you're not a teenager. Stop trying to live life as a teenager when you're not a teenager. God has expectations for you as a young adult. Midlife, you're not young, but you're not old. Amen. Can I tell you, so much there. You got wisdom because you're not young. You had some experiences of life. You got a lot more to offer than what you did when you was a teenager. But you're not old. Different ages, but there's a cycle. Everyone goes through that. And then old age. You're not young, but you're not dead. Yeah. I've got to remind myself. I'm not young, but I'm not dead. So praise the Lord. You know, I've still got life. God has me here for a purpose. Yeah. So Joshua chapter 13, that's what we seen with Joshua, and he tells him, you're old, twice in chapter 1, then he's outlines for him what he wants him to do next. Okay, the military part is over, now you need to use the wisdom and gain the respect of the people that you've gained the respect of people to be able to divide the land. No one was more capable to do this than Joshua, because he had earned the respect of the tribes of Israel. He had earned the respect of the people. God had him there. God prepared him for this stage of his life. Don't know what you've been through in your life. God, if he didn't cause it, he had to allow it. And whatever God allowed, and we preach on Sunday morning on the whys, we might not understand why, but God has an expected end. And so you're still alive in whatever stage you're in. Learn from what you've already experienced and apply it. God has taken you through that for this next stage, this next opportunity that you have to accomplish something for the cause of Christ. So verse 6 down to verse 8 here, the important Joshua has important work to do, even though it's different. Joshua might have wanted to stay out there, and just like King David. David didn't want to stop physical combat. He loved that. And he almost got killed, and his men had to step in and save David, or he would have been killed by Goliath's brother. He didn't want to move on, but David, you're not the man you used to be, so let's look at your age and what's going on and realize that God has a plan for you at your age. It doesn't include going out hand-to-hand combat. Joshua, your military years are somewhat behind you, but what you have to do now is as important in the scheme of things and the will of God as it was when you were a young man and fighting the battles, hand-to-hand combat, whatever it might be. So, Joshua, you have important work to do, different but equally important. You're going to divide up the land according to God's will and God's command. Psalms chapter, let me just read this to you, but over in the book of Psalms in chapter 92 and verse 13, it says these: those that be planted in the house of the Lord, that's the most important thing throughout your life. Be planted in the house of the Lord, because that's where you're going to get marching instructions. Amen. That's where you're going to find God's will for your life, his direction for every stage of your life. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. Yeah. They shall still, and I love that, got it underlined, still bring forth fruit in old age. Every old person needs to have that verse underlined and circled. Yeah. They shall still bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat and flourishing. I think that gives me the green light to get fat. I don't know, but I'm taking it that way. It's my interpretation. Yeah. No, it does mean something different than that, but at the same time, you know, it's the blessings of God, basically. And when I'm fat and healthy, I feel like I get more of the blessings of God. Yeah, more to show for it, I guess. So Joshua is tasked with dividing the land between the 9.5 tribes. That's where he's at. Now, he learned under Moses how Moses was able to divide the first 2.5 tribes, divide the land, because they were to have the land on the other side of Jordan. Now, Moses probably was the only one at that point that could have said, no, I know all of you would like to have this and not go into battle. But we're going to establish these 2.5 tribes, the land that God has for them, because they need to be occupied. But we're also going to make conditions that they, the soldiers, go with us until everybody has the land that they will occupy. I love that part of it. Numbers in chapter 32, let me just go back and read that to you so that you know where we're at. This is what's taking place, so you understand this. Numbers 32 and verse 32. It says, And we will pass over armed before the Lord into the land of Canaan. This is the 2.5 tribes, conditional, that the possession of our inheritance on this side Jordan may be ours. If we don't do what God would have us to do in helping the others defeat all the armies, then we are not going to be given this land. And Moses gave unto them, even to the children of Gad and to the children of Reuben, and unto the half the tribe of Manasseh, the son of Joseph, the kingdom of Sihon, king of the Amorites, and the kingdom of Og, king of Bashan, the land with the cities thereof of the coast, even the cities and the country round about. So God had a plan. He always has a plan. So his plan would include Moses distributing the first 2.5 tribes, the land on the other side of Jordan. Now it's come. They've defeated the entire occupants. And so now it's Joshua to take each tribe and give them the lot, give them the land, and the blessings of God that God had for them. And as he would give them, divide up the land, he was to help them to accept what God had for them and then occupy it, finish occupying it according to God's command, which again is back over in our text in Joshua chapter 13 and the end of verse 6 when it says, divide thou it by lot unto the Israelites for an inheritance as I have commanded thee. So everybody with me so far? I mean, just laying the ground, the fountain, that's what we read, that's what's taken place. Joshua has been instructed, battle for Joshua, the wartime's over. Now it's more of using the wisdom and the position that God had given to him to be able to get Israel to the next stage of God's plan for Israel in the Old Testament. This is where they're at. This is the next stage. This is the next accomplishment. Today, as I look at this and we make some applications to what God is doing in our lives even today, today it would be much like receiving the spiritual gifts according to the will of God that are given to prepare us to accomplish God's will for our lives. Now, Jesus, through the Holy Spirit of God, is the one that determines our spiritual gifts. And your spiritual gifts are determined by what God has for you to accomplish in every stage of your life. Matter of fact, Romans in chapter 12, let's read this. Because you have to accept what God has done for you. You have to accept the spiritual gifts that God has given to you. And know that he has a purpose for you having that gift. And his purpose is for you to use it to glorify him. Now we can desire certain spiritual gifts, but sometimes if we desire them, we desire maybe the ones that are different from what God has planned for us. Yeah. Not everybody in the church can be a pastor. Not everybody in the church can sing in the choir. Well, you might want to and you might try, but you shouldn't. Just ask Travis, he'll tell you. He's told us before, that's why I can say that. So, and others, I mean, you have to be gifted to be able to do certain things in your service to the Lord. Amen? I think we're aware of that. And it's really not, it's not our choosing it, although we're going to find here in a little bit that there was a couple that wanted and God gave them what they desired. And so, but God already had determined that. And he put a desire into Caleb's heart for what he had prepared for him. One of the first qualifications for a pastor is desire that position. God puts that desire in us, and then you have to make sure that you have the qualifications, and the gifts of God are entwined within the qualifications. You might desire that, but if you don't have those right spiritual gifts for that position, then that's not the position God has for you. But God has a position for you. He has a part in the body that every one of us are designed for. And there's a lot of different parts of the body, and that's the church. And everyone is designed for certain parts of the body. So we find here in Romans in chapter 12, this is what the Bible teaches. For I say, though, the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. Don't think you deserve all the gifts that there is to be received. But to think soberly according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. God is determining the measure of faith that would be able to receive these gifts. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and everyone members one of another, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. So, and it goes down, it names some of these gifts, and we find that there are temporary gifts, and then there are established gifts for throughout the church age. There was temporary gifts given for the apostolic age, but there was permanent gifts that are given throughout the church age. And we don't have time to go into all that. Just know that there were some gifts that were given for temporal gifts during the apostolic age. We understand that. So the spiritual gifts. So as we look at this, and go over 1 Corinthians now. In 1 Corinthians in chapter 12. Here we find Paul gives us a little bit more insight into these spiritual gifts. Now, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. It's the Spirit of God determining God's your purpose and what God's purpose is for your life, and then giving you, equipping you with these gifts to be able to get the job done. That's what they're doing with the nation of Israel, with the different ones receiving the different lands, the lots, the tribes. Every tribe had a different lot in order to be able to accomplish in that land mass God's will for them. And each one would be a little bit different, having to conquer that land, to finish conquering that land. So he says, now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administration, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. To be blessed by knowing that you're in the will of God, accomplishing what God has for you to accomplish. For to one is given by the Spirit for the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discernment of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. That these are the temporal gifts, and there's a permanent gifts, and we don't have time to go into that. Just know that there are some. You can probably pick out the ones that would have been for the apostolic age, the temporal gifts. But all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. So be aware, tribe of Israel, that God has a landmass, part of your inheritance, that Joshua is going to give to you, because you might accomplish what God has you in that land to accomplish. Everyone will be a little different. The battles in every one of these tribes will be different. But it's the same God wanting the same things accomplished. Wow. Yeah. So even seeing that brings it all together, we can learn from that, from some of the experiences that they would go through in occupying the land of Canaan. There would be spiritual gifts, and then there would be opportunities. Opportunities. What do you mean by opportunity? Well, Luke chapter 12. All of us are giving spiritual gifts according to the will of God, and then God presents to us as His will opportunities. Can I tell you, there's nothing that we can do to change our spiritual gifts. Don't desire somebody else's spiritual gifts. Just be aware of yours and understand this is what God's given to you, and let's accomplish what God has for you to accomplish with the spiritual gifts that He's given to you. Because you have to have the certain gifts to do certain things. If you don't have the gifts, then that's not God's will for you to serve in that capacity. But you do have gifts to use in whatever capacity God has you to use them. But that's in God's hands. That's controlled by God. Other things is opportunities. Again, Luke in chapter 12 and verse 48. Jesus gave a parable here, the stewards, servants. But He says in verse 48, this is the truth I want you to get hold of. But he that knew not and did commit things worthy of stripes shall be beaten with few stripes. God is aware of what you opportunities you've had, what you opportunities to understand, to learn, to know, this, that, and the other. But then the second half of this is, for unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall be much required. And to whom men have committed much, of him they will ask the more. But for unto whomsoever much is given, whether it be spiritual gifts, then we better be making the most out of the spiritual gifts that God's given to us and stop thinking about somebody else's spiritual gifts and what they're doing and focus more on what God has me here to do. You know what hinders a lot of churches, where there's disunity in a lot of churches? I want your gifts because I want your position, because I think your position is one that people look up to more than my position. That's not pleasing unto God. And that's going to limit you from doing what God has for you to do with the gifts that He's given to you. And without you doing what God has for you to do with the gifts He's given to you, associated with that are the blessings of God. Associated with that is the power of God upon your life. And ultimately, the rewards that you'll have up in heaven. Amen. Because instead of serving God the way God wants you to serve Him in the church and in the world, instead of you serving God the way He wants, you've always been looking to something else, and you've not stored any rewards in heaven because you've not done what God would have you to do. You've been spending too much time trying to do something that somebody else is supposed to do when you have a task that you're neglecting that God has you here to do it. Wow. Does that make sense? Because that's God. God has given me the gifts that I have, and whoever has the gifts, you're accountable for those gifts. But then there's opportunities associated with those gifts. Not everyone has the same opportunities. We can do more with opportunities than what we might be doing because we're sidetracked on other things, opportunities. Opportunities to learn, and you fail to learn. Opportunities to grow, and you fail to grow. So if you haven't learned to grow, to get the blessings by accomplishing things, whose fault is that? It's not God's fault that he didn't give you the gift or he didn't open up a door. I believe that those that are raised in a Christian home have greater opportunities than those that do not. That's limiting those that are not raised in a Christian home. I'm not saying that at all. I'm saying that you have greater opportunities and you better be doing something with the opportunities that God has opened up for you. I try to convince my two girls that as being preacher's kids. I don't know if I ever got through to them. Because, Dad, we shouldn't have to expect this and expect that and expect just because we're the preacher's kids. Well, yeah, you can. You should. Because you are. And that's beyond your control. It's, first of all, God has equipped, and then God has opened the door of opportunity, and your mother and I have taken advantage of that opportunity, and we're in the ministry, and because we're in the ministry, and you're PKs, preacher's kids. So stop wishing you were somewhere else because you're losing out on the blessings that God has for you as being preacher's kids. Stop thinking and wishing you were somebody else that you didn't have Christian parents because somebody else's parents will let their kids drink and smoke and do this and do that and stay out all the hours of the night. Do you know where that leads? You forfeit your teen years. And you start making decisions that you're not ready to make as a teenager. The decisions you'll make as an older adult, now you're making them as teenagers, and you have scars that take you out of ever living a teenage life because you go from being a child to an adult because you have adult responsibilities in raising a child. Yeah. If only I would have thanked God for having Christian parents that put limits on me and expectations on me according to the word and the will of God. Might have made a difference in my life. Yeah. There's a lot of people out there that have that testimony. Wow. Spiritual gifts that are to be applied with your age and your stage of life. Yeah. And those opportunities that God opens to us in every stage of life and every age that we go through. And we need to take advantage of the opportunities. Yeah. So that's what's going on with Joshua now. He's dividing up the land. They don't have a choice. They don't get to choose. God says, this is where I want you to put them. This is what I've prepared for them. This is the opportunities they have. And they would have to accept what Joshua was given to them as per being the will of God and the commandment of God. So, divide. Once you divide, Joshua, you're still there. Now use your influence to try to help them to look to God to enable them to drive out the inhabitants. Because every one of these tribes are going to have a little bit different type of a lifestyle, life struggle. And you're there to help them to look to God for whatever need they have in doing God's will and accomplishing God's will. See, they had been doing this as an army, a combined 12 tribe army. But now they would have to do this as individual tribes. It's easy. It should be to act like a Christian in church. Because you look around, you think, well, the majority here should be Christian. I mean, and no one's going to look down on me for trying to be a Christian. Everyone's going to be encouraging me to be a Christian and live like a Christian and all the different things. Because the majority. But are you a Christian at home? You don't have the rest of the people in the church to help you to say the right things, act the right way, do the right things. Now you're at home and you have to establish Christianity in your home. You've been fighting together as an army, 12 tribes of Israel. Now every tribe is going to have to make their own decisions because now you're being divided up. The major battles have been fought. I mean, you've already won the battle. You're in the land. But now in the land, God has a will for you in every tribe. And we'll notice that they failed. They would fail some. Some would. Nevertheless, the children of Israel expelled not. Expelled not the Geshurites, nor the Maacathites. Now, you were winning the battle. You were doing it all when you were together. Now, you're separately. You were given the gifts. You were given the opportunities. What are you doing with them? See, because in establishing every tribe in their lots would make a difference in their next generation. We need to make sure that we are establishing God's will and what God has given to us if we want the next generation to live the Christian life. Spiritual gifts. Do we know what they are? You don't know how to apply them unless you know what they are. Do you know what you have? Because you need to understand your spiritual gifts to know what area that God has called you to for service. It is the church. It's about spiritual gifts. Everyone understanding their spiritual gifts and yielding themselves to that spiritual gift to be able to see the body of Christ grow and be effective in its outreach for the cause of Christ. And when we do that, we do it as a whole, but we're also dependent upon individual families to make sure that they've established the same things in their individual homes so that when we come together, then we're all in the same thing and we are impacting the next generation. See, we're to see ourselves as God's people. And as God's people, equipped by God and given opportunities to make a difference. 2 Timothy, and this is a passage of most everyone. Oh, let me just read it to you, though. But 2 Timothy in chapter 2. Verses 1 through 3. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me, Paul passing it down, who he received from Christ, among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. God has a battle plan. God has equipped. God has blessings in store. At every stage, He has things to be done and blessings associated with it. soldiers, disciples, witnesses, ambassadors, children of God, Christians. Soldiers, disciples, witnesses, ambassadors, children of God, all through the Bible. These are terms that God has given to his people. And the last, possibly the most important, for this dispensation, for this day and age, Christian. Because this is the Antichrist day that we're in right now. This is the Laodicean age. And the most important thing that a born-again believer can do is to identify with Jesus Christ and his doctrine, his truths. That's why we're here. That's why we can't forsake the assembling of ourselves together, because we need it to remain faithful to our Christian heritage. Yeah. Do we see ourselves as God's servant in every age and stage of life, understanding there's opportunity in every stage? I trust we can, and we will continue to do that as born-again believers. If I could have every head bowed tonight, we got to quit. Every eye closed for just a minute here. Just think about what God spoke to you about. We focus on establishing God's will in our individual lives, in our homes, in our testimony, in our work for Christ. We have to work on it. If we don't work on it, then we will not accomplish in the land that God has given to us, overthrowing the inhabitants and establishing Christianity. Father, we bow before you tonight. We love you. Thank you for the truth of your word. Thank you for Joshua and, Lord, just what you had planned for him and going into this next phase of his life at his age and making an impact on Israel as they go into the different lands of Canaan, every tribe having a battle to fight and a victory to win. And I pray, God, that we would learn from that and likewise win the victory. Whatever the battles might be, that we would be victorious in our life for Christ. Bless down the invitation. In Jesus' name, amen.